I want to bring a message to you this morning that's going to be really kind of different, and my prayer is that it is an immense word of hope to every one of you who are seeking to live a life by faith. We've been talking about, we've been working our way verse by verse through what's called the Hall of Faith, Hebrews chapter 11. And this morning, we're going to come to a portion of that chapter, quite honestly, that is an imperfect faith journey. So far, we've covered some pretty interesting and powerful ground. We've talked about how Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than his brother Cain. We talked about how Enoch sought God so vigorously, prophesied the future, pleased God, that God just took him. We talked about how Noah heard the Lord, feared the Lord, prepared for the flood, was a righteous man. And it can seem, in a sense, quite honestly, looking at some of these lives of faith, that they seem not only, you know, they seem only to make, they're always victorious. They're walking in this realm of the gloriousness of God. They're onward and they're upward, and it's almost like we can elevate them to a stature beyond what they really are. Almost like we can look at them as superheroes, if you will, rather than real people who believed in and trusted in a real God. We start to look at them in a way, through a lens that we don't feel we compare in any way, shape, or form. Have you are understanding what I'm saying? It's almost like we make the Bible the unreal book. You know, we read the Bible and we go, man, that is awesome what Enoch did. That is, wow, look at Noah, what a man of God. But we look at ourselves kind of like those 10 spies, as we look at ourselves as grasshoppers compared to them. We look at ourselves and we kind of go, man, that is them, but boy, woe is me. You know, I'm just nothing in comparison to them. Can I just say to you that God never, ever, ever means for us to read his word that way. Never means for us to see his people that way. He actually means for you and I to relate fully to them. It's why, quite honestly, the Bible's such a shocking book. How many of you, you know, I read the Bible through every year, and I'm still shocked at some of the stories that God allowed to be included in the Bible. When I come across some of those stories, I'm just practically blushing, because they would make, you know, even the most, you know, the craziest soap opera out there seem mild. You know what I'm saying? There's some pretty interesting stories in the Bible. And God left it all in there so that you and I, who are flesh and blood and clay pots and full of imperfection, and we stumble and fall and we make our mistakes and we have our challenges, so that you and I can relate. And that hopefully you and I can grab hold and go, okay, if he could do it, I can do it. If she can do it, I can do it. I can believe. I can have faith in God. I can trust the Lord. So this morning, it's all about an imperfect faith journey. We're going to look this morning at two characters, Abram and Sarai. Abram and Sarai. We've talked about how faith works. It produces something. It's active. It's exercised. It's not just a passive thing. Faith acts. We've talked also about how fear, it acts by robbing and by limiting. Faith is that strong conviction that something that is not yet will be. Hebrews 11:1 is our definition from Scripture, right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's a substance and an evidence. But sometimes we're looking at these lives of faith of people in the Bible, and they just seem so victorious that we just can't relate. It's not true. You can relate. I love in James chapter 5 where it talks about Elijah, and it says this about Elijah. Elijah was a man just like us. Yes. Believe me, God put that in there so you and I would go, okay. he's not, you know, on this other level, super spiritual, and I could never get there. Okay, maybe I can see myself. So Hebrews 11:8 says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. This is an interesting beginning, if you will, for this imperfect faith journey. It's accurate, but it doesn't give us a lot of details. So to get the details, we're going to have to go and explore God's word in a bigger way. And this should really encourage us big time. Because how many of us, if we're really honest here today, okay, come on, be honest with it. How many, we got imperfections. Now, you know, if you're not voting, you're lying. And if you're lying, you're frying. No, I'm just kidding. This is 100% right here. Come on, I got both hands up. We have our imperfections. That is absolutely for sure. So let's go over to Genesis. Let's go back to the beginning. Let's find out a little more about this guy Abraham and his imperfect faith journey. It says, now the Lord had said to Abraham, or to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you, and I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you, and I'll make your name great, and you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and I'll curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. All right, let's stop for a second, make a couple observations. The Lord has said, okay, God has spoken to Abram. This is the beginning of the faith journey, right? For most of us, God begins to speak. God begins to stir. God begins to bring us to a place where there's a discomfort, where the nest is starting to be rustled, and we feel like God's calling us to fly out and to trust him and to do something for his glory, okay? God speaks to him. Get up and move. Get up and move. But here's an important point that we kind of miss here sometimes in the story. When did God say that to Abram? Because that's really important. When did God say to Abram, get up and move? So we're going to do a little more adventuring, exploring in Scripture. And we're going to actually jump to the New Testament. Now, Acts chapter 7. And we're going to look at a speech that Stephen, the first martyr of the church, gave to the religious people of the day, and he's recounting the history, right, of their common faith as Abraham, the father of their faith. And he says this, brethren and fathers, listen, the glory of God appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran, and said to him, get out of your country and from your relatives, and come to a land that I will show you. Then he came out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And from there, when his father was dead, he moved him to this land in which you now dwell. So let's think about it for a minute. God tells Abram, speaks to him initially when he's in Mesopotamia, modern day Iraq. If you're looking at the map and thinking of today's geography, this is before he travels to Haran, the Ur of the Chaldees, to leave his country. And as he's told to leave his country, to leave his family, to leave his father's house. Abraham left, goes to Ur, not to the land yet that God would show him, but this is his first stop, and takes his father and his nephew Lot. God was taking him to a new land. God had a purpose and a plan behind calling him and the exact instructions he'd given him. He wanted him to leave behind that place of idols and go to this new place. But do you catch the nuance here? Abram didn't fully obey. Do you notice that? He's supposed to leave his relatives. And who does he bring along on the journey? Dad, you want to come along? Lot, how about you? Why don't you guys join me on this journey that God's calling me on? Even though God has clearly called me to leave my house, leave my family, and leave my relatives. It was partial obedience, not full obedience. Now, let me just ask you a question here this morning, okay? And again, let's be honest, right? Let's be honest in the house of God. Have you ever not totally trusted God in your faith journey? There ever been a time where, quite honestly, you held back a little bit, or you held on a little bit, or you even joined to someone or something? There was something of security and comfort or assistance that you just didn't quite, you weren't quite ready to let go of it. If you're honest enough to say yes, you're in good company. You're in the company of the father of our faith, Abram. So, he didn't fully obey. He brought Lot. Now, if you've read the scriptures and you are familiar with the story, you know that bringing along Lot ends up creating lots of tension, lots of challenges, lots of problems for Abraham. You ever thought about that? Brought tension. Eventually, if you remember the story, they have to separate because there's tension among their peoples, and they separate. And what's Lot choose? He chooses the good old land of Sodom. Interesting. There ends up being there's the whole scenario of God having to rescue Lot out of Sodom. There's an abduction that ends up happening, and Abram's got to put an army together and rescue Lot. There's destruction that obviously happens with Sodom and Gomorrah. There's that really weird, bizarre story of Lot's daughters and the incestuous relationship they have with their father. There's generational wars that end up happening. Children, okay, the genealogy of Lot, after the weird incestual thing happens, produces the Ammonites and the Moabites. Maybe you're familiar with those guys because they become the enemies of God forever. God's people are fighting them ongoingly. It's all because Abraham didn't fully obey what God had told him. He brought Lot along. Come on, Lot. How about Hagar? You remember that story, right? Another scenario where Abraham walks in partial obedience, walks in his own wisdom, walks in his own understanding, tries to help God out. God, maybe you need a little help with your plan here. It's not exactly coming about in the timing that I would like and prefer. And, you know, maybe I need to do something. You know, it's in the Bible, right, that God helps those who help themselves. Is that in the Bible, by the way? Oh, it isn't, is it? So he joins himself to her with Sarah's encouragement. I don't exactly get the idea that Abraham had a lot of resistance to that encouragement, and he tries to make God's promise happen. It wasn't a good idea. Again, he's disobedient, and consequences, major league consequences, follow that disobedience, right? He produces, if you will, the Arab nation that has continuing conflict with the people of God even to this very day. Listen, partial obedience produces future problems. Delayed obedience produces delayed fulfillment. You might say in Abraham joining himself with Hagar, he's delaying the promise of God. Because it's not until separation, listen, from Lot and Hagar that the promise of God actually happens for Abraham. Do you realize that? In other words, Abram, if you just done it God's way first. But let's be honest again, guys. It gives me hope because I haven't always got it right. I've tried. I've sought the Lord. I've done my best. But sometimes I've missed it along the way. How many of you can relate? It's an imperfect faith journey that hopefully, listen, I am not in any way, shape, or form trying to disrespect Abraham and Sarah. I hope you don't hear that in any way, shape, or form in what I'm saying. I'm actually trying to look at them and say, okay, there's hope for me. Because they didn't get it all right either. So, let's continue in the story. Because Abraham's partial obedience was coupled with a character issue that Abraham continued to exhibit in his life and his leadership, and that is partial truth. Partial obedience, delayed obedience, now coupled with partial truth. Good old Abe sometimes told half-truths for his benefit, for his protection, for his purposes, to watch out for himself. It's a character issue in the man. Bible people have character issues too, just like you and I do. God's still working on me. How about you? I mean, you know, you and I, we are always, 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 if you've ever gone to a place and it says, you know, excuse our mess, pardon our mess, you know, this is a construction zone, you know, we're improving things. You and I, we're always that. God's always about improving us. He's always about taking us the next step. He's always about, just as Glenn said, taking us from glory to glory. But glory to glory also means we're becoming more Christ-like. It means we're becoming people of stronger character. We're reflecting the Lord more and more through our actions, our reactions, our words, our lives, our lifestyle, everything about us. Genesis chapter 12, it says, now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. And it came to pass when he was close to entering Egypt that he said to Sarai, his wife, Sarai, you know, you're a beautiful woman. Therefore, it's just going to happen that when the Egyptians see you, they're going to say, this is his wife, and they're going to kill me. But they'll let you live. So please tell them you're my sister, that it might be well for me. Boy, who's Abraham looking out for? Good old number one, isn't he? That I may live because of you. So here's Abram, the father of our faith. The father of our faith. He's full of fear. He half-truths Pharaoh, says she's his sister. It's kind of the truth, but it's also kind of a very deliberate deception. Then he does it again. Genesis chapter 20, verse 13. And it says, and it came to pass when God calls me to wander from my father's house that I said to her, Sarai, this is your kindness that you should do for me in every place, wherever we go, say of me, he's my brother. Abram turns around and half-truths King Abimelech. And listen, get this, right? This is a premeditated plan of action. This is a deliberate deception by a man of faith, by the father of our faith. I mean, these two decided it along the way. They planned it. They were operating in fear. It's what caused them to make this compromised decision. Now, in all truth, she is his half-sister. She is from the same father, but they have different mothers. So it's fudging a little bit. It's half-truthing, and it leads you and I on our imperfect faith journey to ask the question, have you ever been so afraid in your faith journey that you half-truthed, that you fudged the truth a little bit, that you tweaked the truth, that you told part of the story, that you were also kind of watching out for yourself because you weren't sure of the situation it might put you in? The fact is, Abraham, in all his faith, still had some fear he was dealing with and coming up against. God even addresses this in Genesis 15:1. He says to Abram, don't be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Boy, if Abram had walked with that promise, he could have trusted God to protect him and his wife. Amen? So, let's kind of rehearse where we are, because again, this is all about you and I realizing that even though our faith journey hasn't been perfect, God can and still will use us if we will keep getting up and keep pursuing him and keep exercising faith. Amen? So partial obedience, delayed obedience, partial truth, and now we're going to add to the list, fall on his face laughter in the face of God's promises. Genesis chapter 17, it says, God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name, and I'll bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I'll bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. Oh man, you're kidding me. What? What? This cannot be. And he says in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who's 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who's 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham says to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. And God says, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son. And you shall call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant with his descendants after him. Abraham laughed at the promise of God. And isn't it interesting that God declares his son's name is Isaac, which means laughter. In other words, God is saying, Abraham, I'm never going to let you forget this day, buddy. You're never going to live this one down. Every time you call your son's name, hey, Isaac, oh, gosh, I laughed. I didn't trust the Lord. Going to be a little bit of that, you know, that jab, that, oh, ouch, you know. I didn't trust him the way I should have. I doubted him. Perhaps every one of us in this place. Maybe we've laughed along the way at the promises of God. I just want to encourage us, be prepared, be ready, not to laugh, but to worship, amen? Because three men show up, and one of these men is what we call an epiphany, if you will. It's the angel of the Lord. It's the Lord himself. They show up in Genesis chapter 18, verses 12 through 15. And listen to this dialogue. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I've grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? You ever heard God speaking that back to you? Is anything too hard for me? Really? Is anything too hard for me? At the appointed time, I'll return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. There's fear again. Faith or fear? Faith is greater than fear. Amen? And he said, "No, but you did laugh." No. Come on. Right here in the presence of God, it's established. You did laugh. So think of these guys, right? I want you to get this in your heart and your mind, because some of you have been convinced, quite honestly, that you've messed up enough along the way that God's plan for you is now defunct. And it's sure not true. So they laughed, they lied, they feared. It was certainly an imperfect faith journey, but they kept moving forward, kept heading to that land that God would show them, kept trusting in the midst of their failures and their faults. And guess what? God's really good about working in spite of our mess ups. If you stay on the way, you'll never miss your way. Let me say it again, because it's so true. If you stay on your way, even though you may trip and falter, you'll never miss your way. Sarah, the mother of us all, the mother of all of us in the faith, was not perfect, but God still used her. So it leads us to the question, right? Have you ever laughed at a miraculous promise of God, or questioned a miraculous promise of God, or something God spoke to you seems so big, so huge, so beyond your own power? And that's pretty much the way you always can tell if it's from the Lord, right? It's beyond you. But because it is beyond you, you laugh and you go, "What?" The fact is, get past your laughing and your questioning and move on to believing. Move on to being blessed by the Lord. I think of Mary, just this young teenage girl who the Lord shows up to. And Mary even says, you know, "How's this going to happen?" And the angel says, "By the power of the Holy Spirit." And then I love Mary's response, "Then let it be unto me just as you've said." Our part, guys, is not the performing, right? We don't have to perform the miracle. Our part is believing that God can perform the miracle in and through us. Do you understand that? That is the key to faith in so many ways. Elizabeth even says, when she comes in Mary's presence and Mary is pregnant with the very Son of God, she says, "Blessed are you for believing." Mary believed, and so it was, according to the will and the way of God. The fact is, just get past your laughing, get past your questioning, move on to believing, and be blessed, and watch God's plans and purposes be fulfilled in your life. So, partial obedience, partial truth, laughing, questioning, but still journeying. This is the key for Abraham and Sarah. God doesn't give up on you. Your faith journey is not over because it's been an imperfect journey. Look at Abraham and Sarah. Don't buy into the lies that tell you that you're done, because it's not true. Let's flip over to the New Testament as we close. One last story. Again, a story of an imperfect faith journey and the faithfulness of our Jesus in the midst of an imperfect faith journey. Luke chapter 22. It says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he might sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you." Jesus says, "I've prayed for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. And when you've returned to me, strengthen your brethren." But he said to him, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you, both to prison and to death." And then Jesus says, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny me three times that you even know me." All right, one last thought here, right? Whether it's your own imperfections, just like we've seen so powerfully illustrated in Abraham and Sarah, whether it's your own imperfections or whether it's satanic deception and attack, Because Satan wants to sift God's people. Satan wants to shake down God's people in hopes that our faith would fail, in hopes that our faith would cease, in hopes that our faith would die. And you've heard those accusing things before, whispered into your very heart and mind. Look how you've blown it. You've missed it. You doubted. You delayed. You lied. You laughed. You denied. God's done with you. Ephesians 6:16, right, says, above all, taking that shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. When you've done all to stand, stand. What's Jesus' response? He prays for us. Just like he prayed for Peter, that he would not fail. He prays that our faith in the goodness and the grace of God would not fail, that we would return to him after our imperfections, that we would continue our faith journey, making a difference in the lives of others. So the question is today, have you partially obeyed? Have you partially told the truth? Have you fully laughed? Have you honestly questioned? Have you denied Jesus? Are you being sifted, shaken, or shot at? Here's the answer. Know that Jesus is praying for you and he hasn't quit on you. So lift up the shield of faith and keep journeying, church. Blessing, fulfillment, and God's faithfulness awaits you. The devil told you that you were done, not God. Don't listen to the devil. God's a good God, even in the midst of our imperfections and our failures. Jesus says, Peter, you return to me, and I'll restore you, and I'll send you to be a blessing to many. Listen, Jesus has more confidence in the power of his prayer than in the power of the enemy's attack. So don't let today's imperfections keep you from tomorrow's faith-filled promises. Amen, church? Would you bow your heads, close your eyes? Lord, thank you for speaking to us today. May we be faithful to seek after you with all of our hearts. In the midst of our imperfections and our faults and our failures, may we keep getting up, keep trusting you, keep moving forward, keep believing that you are going to bring about, through your power, through your goodness, all that you've promised in and through our lives. And may we be quick to give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Would you stand with me today? Could you give the Lord praise in this house today for his goodness? Amen. Lord, go with us. Let your face shine upon us and let your light shine through us this week in Jesus' name. God bless you. Have a great week.